Damien's here, Monday Morning Hockey Insider. How you doing? Coxie? Can I call you Coxie? All right, never mind. As soon as a guy goes, you know you shouldn't.
No, that's what Gordo calls me.
Depends how you pronounce it phonetically.
It's all in the pronunciation.
I tend to mix up the X.
Now, I do apologize. We don't have much to talk about with the Leafs today. I was thinking we could use today to either dissect the Marlies roster or even take another walk down memory lane with Gordo on the Bob Mano deal.
Oh, nice.
Things I think...
That was a free agent signing, Damien. But anyway,
I missed
a deal.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm just saying. I don't know where.
I
was watching the game Saturday,
When people start with that, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
That's right up there these days. To be honest with you,
I'm just saying is I'm watching Andrew Raycroft Saturday, and I'm thinking on Monday morning I'm going to go to town about. Is this okay? Is everyone going to take this? This is unbelievable. And then, of course, Sunday changed all that. So give me the diary of you when you became what you thought Saturday night and when you became aware stuff was brewing.
Well, what I thought Saturday night was, will this plane ever land? Because I was on a plane back from Florida and did not see the game. I was aware that the Leafs were ahead early and then landed only later to find that they had again blown another lead. So... I can't say that I was on top of the embarrassment Sunday morning. And I got to say, you know, I mean, I guess good for Andrew Raycroft, I suppose. But isn't that where you just quietly enjoy it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you really want to get out there taunting people when you might have to visit again sometime? I don't know. But anyway, see, I guess he can do whatever he wants to do. But, yeah, I mean, I think that was just another night of embarrassment for the Leafs. But... these two deals, the Jaguar deal and the Phaneuf deal, they were agreed upon before that. I don't think Saturday night specifically changed anything.
This was probably a lot of shovel work on this too, though. I mean, a deal that would take more than just, I would think, a day or two to put together, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jaguar deal was out there for months. I mean, Anaheim needed to move that contract. And we saw last week finally why, because they wanted to sign Jonas Hiller, and they got him done 4 years, $18 million. Well, they were just plumb out of, if not cap space, certainly their own budget space. They needed to move Jaguar all year long. He wanted to come to the Leafs. Bob Murray wanted to peddle the Leafs, but he didn't really want to take the kind of money back he ended up taking until he had to take it in the form of Jason Blake and Vesa Toskala. And, I mean, how many times did we talk about Jason Blake and his contract, and finally it's gone? And it does demonstrate that you can move deals, or you can move contracts you don't like in the NHL, because you know what? Everybody's got them. The other deal, I think, more came together in the past couple of weeks. Phaneuf's name had been out there for a little bit. Calgary was a bit unhappy with him. There was the friction between he and Robin Regier, and then a Calgary losing streak really put the Flames in a situation where Daryl Sutter had to make a move. New York was in on it, I think, and some other teams were interested in. And then I think the deal basically got agreed to Friday, but Daryl Sutter wanted to wait until Sunday. So, you know, I think like a lot of deals, it takes time to come together. The seeds are planted at various times, and then it all ended up coming together on one day.
Well, you know, most people are talking about the Calgary deal first, but maybe I'll start with Anaheim because Brian Burke likes to build from the goal out. And as Bob Murray waited for this deal to be done or had it out there for a number of months, the other little bit of a problem is Jean-Sébastien Giguère has having his second subpar season in a row at age 32. So this is the bigger commitment that Brian Burke is making, that he is the goaltender because he's got $6 million reasons he's got to keep him next year.
Yeah, well, I know Burke likes to say he builds from the goalie out, but I do remember Dan Cloutier for years in Vancouver. You know, I mean, I think and Jaguar was in Anaheim when he got there. So I understand what he's saying. I think he'd like to be solid in that. I think what Jaguar allows them to at least see what he's got left. They were going to have to do something with their goaltending this summer. This is the first try at doing something about their goaltending. And if this doesn't work, if Jaguar can't play, or if he is at the tail end, then they're still going to have to go out and get somebody this summer. So this is sort of, to me, an early look at trying to solve their goaltending puzzle and put Jonas Gustafsson in a position where he can learn and not have to carry the load. So, for me, that's what this was. The money ends up being, if not a wash, almost a wash. Jaguar's only 32. Maybe he needed change of scenery. I saw him. This guy competes in practice, I'll tell you. Like, nobody competes in practice. Oddly enough, I was in Tampa last week watching Anaheim practice, and they had lost the previous night in Washington. So they were more or less out for a light skate, and they were playing a lot of three-on-three. And at the end, Ryan Getzlaf put a puck past Jaguar, and that ended the three-on-three game for the other team. And Jaguar just went nuts. He started smashing his stick on the goalpost. He did about 9 times. And then he comes off smiling, as he always did. But he's a competitive guy. And I think as a personality, while Dion Phaneuf may be kind of a prickly guy, Jean-Sébastien Jaguar is the kind of positive personality the Leafs need in the room.
So do we think that they've made a decision on goaltending as far as Gustafsson is concerned? Because I think you could have different agendas here. If one of them is to keep the Boston Bruins picking as low as possible in the upcoming entry draft, then then Jaguar is going to play a lot, right? But if you're unsure as to what you have with Gustafsson, then you should continue playing him a lot.
I think they know where they are on Gustafsson. And originally the plan was to play the heck out of him, because they didn't want to play Vesetoskal anymore, and for obvious reasons. But that wasn't going to work. I think they just saw it was going to be a load that the kid wasn't ready to carry. So, Jaguar at least gives them a chance to make it out alive. I get different vibes on how worried they are about the Boston thing. I think now, Burke can go before a lot of people and say, yeah, I don't have two first-round picks the next year, but I have a 24-year-old Dion Phaneuf, I have a 22-year-old Phil Kessel, and one of the youngest teams in hockey. People should be happy with that. And you know what? It's at least a stance he can take with some conviction.
Well, I still think if you get in the bottom three, I mean, because you look what that first-round pick would be worth if you were going to trade it at the trade at draft time. But anyway, we can talk about...
What would it be worth, Gordon?
Well, a lot. I mean, that's a market you're talking about. You look at the first three players chosen in the past decade, and all of a sudden you got a chance at getting a superstar. I'm just saying it would be better for everybody if the Leafs don't finish the season second last like they are right now.
Well, it wouldn't be better for the Bruins.
Well, except, okay.
I read somewhere yesterday that, this deal has been universally panned. I disagree. And you know what? Take a look through the Boston newspapers and the Boston media these days. The howl in Boston over the fact that they traded away Kessel for draft picks in a year in which that team was supposed to contend for at least the Eastern Conference crown and now is out of a playoff position and falling like a stone. The call against what Peter Chiarelli did has been loud. And people should sometimes realize, there is another way to look at these deals other than from a Leafs-centric manner.
But I want to focus on the other deal then, because we can. I get what you're saying there, but Dion Phaneuf, guy's still only 24. I mean, he's almost 25. It's hard to believe. He's been around forever. Then you look, guy's 24.
Oh, no.
And the guy that we were talking Norris Trophy about, a lock to be on Team Canada.
Yep.
Where exactly is he on the ice and off the ice right now?
Both of those are great questions. And off the ice first, this guy is kind of a miserable guy to deal with. So it's not as though he's going to come with a big ray of sunshine behind him. He's going to do his talking on the ice. He and Phil Kessel are both personalities that are kind of peculiar fits here in Toronto. It's going to see how they play out over time. On the ice, you get different viewpoints. Certainly, he has been or become more of, in the past year and a half, a high-risk, high-reward guy, and the rewards were dwindling as his goal totals dwindled. So, that's when defensemen like this get traded. When they start off as hot prospects, they aren't developing by 23 or 24, and they get traded. I mean, the Leafs have made, a history in their franchise of trading young defensemen. Randy Carlisle for Dave Burrows, we could go on and on and on. Young, promising defensemen because they couldn't live with their errors when they were 23 or 24. So whether he then settles down and becomes the player that they believed he was going to be 2 years ago is the open question. It's going to be about coaching. It's going to be about, him maturing. It's going to be about whether, giving him a $6.5 million a year contract at age 22 was too much, and he's never going to recover. He's going to be a fascinating guy to watch.
Are there I mean, I read some stories, I hear some stories about, you know, him being unlikable in the room and things like that. And are you putting much stock in that? Are you hearing a lot of this? Are you hearing it from good sources?
I never, no, I first of all, I said he's a miserable guy to deal with from a media point of view. I never speak to what guys are like in the room almost because I don't know. I think he is, you know, what a lot of guys are. A difficult guy to deal with publicly. Probably there are teammates who like him. Probably there are teammates who don't like him. He's not a lovable guy in the way of, say, I don't know, who is a lovable guy? Steve Thomas is loved by everybody, you know? That's not Dion Phaneuf's M.O. Whether he's a disruptive force, I don't hear that. I do hear that he couldn't get along with Robin Regier, and Robin Regier is the leader along with Jerome McGinley in Calgary, and so I think that made for a difficult time there. But let's face it, when guys get traded, it's because they're almost always blasted as bad in the room as they leave town. Phil Kessel was. You know, any number of guys are that's the way teams justify moving those guys, that their team's going to be, you know, better just by those guys leaving town. So we'll see with Dion Phaneuf. I don't know how the rest of this season's going to pan out. They've traded away 40% of their scoring. They don't have, you know, they didn't have much up front before. They have less now. You don't know how Jaguar is going to play. You don't know how Phaneuf's going to play right away. This season could get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I certainly mentioned with all the trades now, you've got Phil Kessel and probably your second guy is now Nazem Kadri. I mean, for as far as the forwards go for next year. And so the guys you gave up, you know, trades quite often, everyone thinks they're going to be liberating. Quite often that's not the case. In some cases it is. So a greener pasture in Calgary for Stajan White, Jamal Myers, and Nick Hagman. Where do you see their roles with the Flames?
Well, Hagman's going to give them some scoring primarily because, I mean, the Flames are just in desperate need of somebody who can put the puck in the net. Stajan gives them a viable guy up the middle. Conroy and Lankow weren't giving them enough offense, so that's going to help them there. Mayers is, you know, he fits into what the way the Flames like to play. He's a bump-and-grind kind of player. And Ian White, to me, is the guy who's a bit of the question mark in this whole thing. You look at his numbers right now, they're better offensively than Dion Phaneuf's. But is that because, like Stajan, he has benefited by getting all that power play time and all that offensive time on a bad team? And how will he, succeed on a team where Jay Bouwmeester and Robin Regier and other guys are playing in front of him? I think a lot of people fell in love with Ian White this season, but people fall in love with players on bad teams, and he was one of the few guys on a bad team who was having a good year. Let's see how he does in Calgary. But, you know, if he becomes a legitimate top four defenseman on a good team, Calgary may end up winning this deal.
Yeah, and Brian Burke alluded to that, I guess, was it last week, you know, that Ian White's statistics may be inflated simply because he gets more ice time on special teams or on power play than he would on a good team. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Don, that was their argument about Dominic Moore, that his numbers were inflated because he was getting power play time and offensive time that he wouldn't get elsewhere. And I think if you look at Moore's numbers now, he's been a pretty good player for Florida, but they're not what they were in Toronto.
Yeah, and not to take a shot, and I really mean this at John Ferguson. I'm just saying, you look back. He made a lot of deals.
This is right up there with. I'm just saying.
Well, don't get me wrong.
But the first trade deadline when there was no salary cap and Pat Quinn was still involved in a different role, he made a whack of trades. White, Brian Leetch, Ron Francis, yep. Callie Johansson. I mean, you name it. And then since then, it really did show whatever the structure there, it was not conducive to making any trades, was it?
Well, it certainly doesn't seem that way, and you know, maybe this busts open what the NHL a little bit, and I mean, you know, you got these are old time trades, you know, I mean, not just lots of bodies, but bodies with resumes and big contracts, and Daryl Sutter and Brian Burke found a way to put the 7-player deal together, and then Burke was able to put together a slightly smaller one with Anaheim. So, I mean, I think this is good news for hockey fans. Hockey fans like trades. We all like trades.
Oh yeah, no,
I mean,
it's exciting.
So much to the game. So, if this is an indication of what can be done, let's hope that a bunch of other GMs say, geez, I guess that excuse is out the window and get down to the business of making some moves, because I think it makes the hockey season more interesting for everybody.
Do you have a question for us?
Well, how lucky do you think the Argos are today?
Well, it's lucky they're.
That would have been the first one. They'd be being roasted.
Yeah, no kidding.
For not only the handling of, I guess, who they'd identified as their number one coaching candidate, but for the fact that AP is set to hand the team over to David Braley this week, and yet by the Leaf trades yesterday, everything just sort of swamps that. I guess that's the beauty of the Argos. If you have some bad news you have to deliver, just deliver it in the middle of the winter. Nobody will notice.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe they should move all their games to Moncton this year.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's I know Gord was an Argo booster way back, and Don, you follow it closely, but...
I'm just saying.
Don't get me wrong.
This thing is getting nasty, isn't it?
It is. It's...
They need a day like the Leafs had. They need a day like Leafs had yesterday. I feel like the Argos, like I did Saturday night about the Leafs. They need that Sunday after where you got some news.
Was Andrew Raycroft taunting the Argos?
That's right. Argos.
I don't think there are any words left to describe this situation. You know,
I mean,
that's pretty good, actually. We'll go with that.
You know what you don't hear anymore, though? It used to be in the 80s, okay? It was the ultimate jeer. All of a sudden, from the Maple Leaf Gardens, just in a crowd, you're like, Argos! And you just don't hear that anymore.
Hey, you know what? Maybe the deal is the Raptors are the team that's showing everybody the way to the promised land, so that maybe the Argos just have to figure out a way to be more like the Raptors, because the Raptors are sure playing some good basketball.
Yeah, a lot of teams could figure out how to be more like the Raptors. All right, have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
See you guys.
There's Damian Cox, Monday Morning's Hockey Insider.